This is David Duke, and this is Human Rights Radio. I've got a great show for you today, and I'm sorry for the technical difficulty to start the show, but we're going to have a good one because I love to play some of these interviews. As you know, I used to do interviews. I was on Meet the Press 3 times. That's the, I guess, the highest rated serious news political talk show in the United States of America. I've been on the Today Show many times. I've been on the Tomorrow Show. That was the first one I did in 1974 with Tom Snyder. And I've been on Donahue many times. I've been on Leading Networks. I've been on BBC many times. I've been on programs in France television around the world. I've been just about everywhere over the years. And we used to have at least a media when they had total control and you only had 3 television networks. And by the way, they were all controlled by Eastern European Jews from leftist backgrounds who were refugees, so to speak. I guess that's what they called themselves, from the Tsar. And so they had a lot of bias against the Russian Tsar and the Russian people. And that's one reason why Jews from the 1880s into the 1900s and even into the middle of the century and still today have an anti-Russian bias. And they were trying to cover up the Biden laptop and saying it was Russian disinfo when it was, of course, not. Today, we're going to be talking about what's going on in Gaza. We're going to be talking about the attack on freedom of speech. I'm going to be playing an interview between Megyn Kelly and Glenn Greenwald, kind of illustrating this point. And I'll be able to pause it. And even though I can't get invited to these programs, you'll find out why I'm not invited after you listen to this and listen to what I say. But I will make some comments about what they're saying, and you'll understand why I'm not invited. Because I tell the fundamental truth. Plus, I'm going to give you a little delve into AI, artificial intelligence. And I do believe that even though a lot of things Musk is doing, I disagree with, he's done a lot of things which have made him an enemy of the Jews, even though he tried to bend a knee to them, bringing Ben Shapiro with him, or Ben Shapiro bringing Elon Musk with him to Auschwitz. That's an obligatory pilgrimage to the Jewish God of the Holocaust. The Holocaust is like a new religion of our times, believe it or not. And it is the fundamental thing that tried to justify this horrific crime against the Palestinian people in the 1940s, stealing other people's land, killing them, murdering them, driving out. They're supposed to be 2 nations, but the Palestinians were never recognized. And also the entire world, including the United States, in Security Council meetings, unanimous agreements, that the Palestinians had to be returned to their homes in Israel, who were driven out from those homes. They wiped out 500 villages, folks. And America voted for that. Also, after the 67 war, America voted that Jews had to vacate the Golan Heights. There were no Jews in the Golan Heights. They had no right to the Palestinian land. They had no right to put these people under tyranny, under military-occupied government. They had no right at all. And America was against that. But everything, every action was ignored. Never any sanctions against Israel. In fact, Israel's unfavored nation status. And the Jewish agenda has been put to the forefront. The reason they hate Musk is because sometimes he's spoken out of turn. I think part of it's because they have a bias against him because he came from South Africa. And he dared to talk about the plight of white South Africans who have been murdered by the thousands, targeted. And it's not just criminality. It's ANC-rooted criminality. I have recordings of Nelson Mandela and the other Jews of the ANC, which was a Jewish organization, the African National Congress, which was actually led by communist Jews. It was a communist organization. I got a big picture of Nelson Mandela, his wife, Winnie, I guess her name was, and Joe Slomo, a communist, open communist, hammer and sickle behind them. I also got a film of Nelson Mandela and these other communist Jews and others singing "Death to the Boer," "Death to the Boer." Imagine if any people anywhere in the world would sing "Death to the Jews." Death to the Jews. And yet Jewish media all over the world supported the ANC and the terrorism of the ANC and these communists. It's because we have a false reality in the world today, and we're going to be talking about that as well. I'm going to start off here, and we're going to be talking also because Biden is mentioned by Megyn Kelly when she's talking to Greenwald, that Biden's mentioned as proof that Hamas is a bunch of murderers and mass murderers and committed horrific terrorism on October 7. And Greenwald does a good work on it, but also how, you know, why is someone who supports the Palestinians trying to stop the genocide of tens of thousands of children and innocent women and old people, why in the world are they called terrorists and referred to that way? And why does she get to defend Biden when Biden is an open Zionist? He was proud of it. And by the way, he talks about how powerful, you know, strong, powerful and strong is the same thing. These Jews are, and they're united in their ethnicity all over the world. This is kind of things you're not supposed to say. But he says, I am a Zionist. You don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. So these are the kind of people we're going to quote to prove how evil Hamas is or how evil Palestinians are and how wonderful Jews are. A guy that's been supporting this genocide, he's also admitted, he admitted that he talked to, he supposedly, he said this in one of his press conferences, that he talked to Netanyahu and he said, we've got to stop this bombing, we've got to stop this killing. So he's admitting that they were killing, and he's still sending, he was still sending 2,000 pound bombs. It's kind of crazy. So I want to play you something that Biden said. This is an interview with Shalom TV. Shalom TV, Jewish television, where he makes some interesting confessions and things he's proud of. Basically, his allegiance to Zionism. And by the way, Zionism is an allegiance to Israel. Zionist would be like saying, you know, I'm an American patriot, but for America. Zionist is a person that's loyal to Israel, that is dedicated to Israel specifically. Listen to this.
Between culture, religion, ethnicity, that most people don't fully understand, that is unique and, how can I say it? Strong. With Jews worldwide, I used to say early on when I was a kid, I'd say when I was a young senator, I'd say if I were a Jew, I'd be a Zionist. I am a Zionist. You don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist.
Wow, that's pretty strong. Now, the reason I played that is because as we played this
1 week ago today, there was a large release from the JFK.
I want to play this interview between none other than Glenn Greenwald and Megyn Kelly, I think her name is. And so let me bring that up here. I had it closer a minute ago. Let's see here, just a second. All right. All right, here's Megyn Kelly doing an interview with Glenn Greenwald. And I'm going to be able to stop this and discuss this, which is kind of amazing thing. You'll see. Here we go.
It's what Hamas did on 10/7. Any question whatsoever? He was also
wearing
a shirt.
First, play this a little. From a little
inspired
earlier.
By what the ACLU did in Skokie, Illinois, where they defended the right of American Nazi Party members to march through Skokie, which was a town of Holocaust survivors.
Yeah, what Greenwald's talking about here, to get you up to date, is he's talking about how the American Civil Liberties Union used to be dedicated to free speech. And when we had only three television networks, which were all Jewish, by the way, as I said earlier, from Russian extraction, Jewish extraction from Russia. They certainly weren't Russians, and they actually hated Russians and hated Christian Russia, and they supported the communist revolution in Russia, just like the New York Times did, which when it was bought by a Jew, just like the Roosevelt administration did when they had it was subsumed, this Roosevelt administration, by Bernard Baruch, one of the biggest Wall Street bankers and financial organizations. And I even talked about this the other day, how America was giving guarantees to Poland that if to make them not have a deal with the Germans, to allow Germans, which they did vote overwhelmingly, over 95%, to rejoin their mother country where they were taken away from and held in bondage by another country. They lived there for hundreds of years. But the fact that the Germans wanted their people to be freed from a country where they were pretty much hated and discriminated against and oppressed, which was taken away from them in the so-called Versailles Treaty, even though they always talked about self-determination, that this was the conflict. And this is examples that they give you of German aggressions, why Germans started the war. Yeah, there was a fight with Poland, but it didn't become a world war until France and England declared war on Germany. They could have gone to diplomacy. They could have stopped this thing. There was only a small number of people that died on both sides. They could have gone to the table and had a diplomatic solution to this. Later, the communists actually came in from the east and killed 22,000 Polish army officers in the Caden Forest. There's no argument about that fact. It's true. It was all documented. It's all forensically proven. When the Germans finally got in there after Barbarossa, when they finally got in there to the Caden Forest, they called an international people to excavate these bodies and to do forensic studies on them, and they were all killed when the Bolsheviks came in from the east. That's from the beginning of the war. By the way, no war was declared on Russia at the time. Think about that fact, folks. And by the way, at the beginning of the war, we had Germany that was accused of crimes against Jews, but there was no worry about the Soviet Union, which had killed millions and millions of Christians. And as the great, I don't know if he's so great because he did bring us into the war and he was a promoter of Zionism, but he did admit that the Bolshevik Revolution and communism was a Jewish movement worldwide. He even said that Leon Trotsky, his vision was a Jewish dominated world through communism, literally a Jewish dominated world. That's what Winston Churchill said. So anyway, let's go on from here.
Wearing Nazi uniforms, even though the lawyers who did that were Jewish
lawyers. Let's say something about Skokie. So freedom of speech was absolute in America. And you could say anything about any political ideology. You could hold up, and you still hold up a communist hammer and sickle, even though under the hammer and sickle and under communism, about 100 million people were killed in the world. Not just in Russia and Belarus and Ukraine and part of what became the Russian Federation later, but, you know, it was Soviet Union, but communism around the world, in Serbia, in Eastern Europe, when the Soviets came in, Latvia, Hungary, Lithuania, and in China, which Jews are very proud to say they brought. But anyway, we used to have freedom of speech in this country. And we have to have freedom of speech. We must have freedom of speech about any question. And even though I didn't like those characters in Skokie, I thought they were, you know, Frank Collin was a weird guy. I think probably a pedophile as well. But, you know, if they want to put on a swastika or they want to demonstrate, they got a right to do that. I don't think these people at all, and I never heard these people advocate any genocide. In fact, they went out of their way to say that they didn't believe Hitler committed the crimes that they said he was. They didn't own genocide like Netanyahu says that Palestinians are so-called Amalek. And we know what to do with Amalek. It's right clear, very, very clear. You wipe out the Amalek. Every man, woman, child, even suckling baby. Jewish enemies are supposed to be wiped out to the last. We're supposed to put swords into the wombs of pregnant women of our enemies. We're supposed to be able to take virgin little girls by the thousands. Any virgin, any girl or young girl, not knowing man by woman, they are given as booty to the Jewish forces. The current head of the IDF in Israel, religious officer of the IDF, openly made statements very clearly that he believed it was perfectly fine, perfectly permissible and moral for Jewish soldiers to give in to the evil inclination, of forcibly attacking and raping unwilling Gentile attractive women and raping them. And he justified that by saying it's good for the troops, so the Jewish troops, the morale, that they rape these Gentile women. Well, Gentiles are your brothers and sisters. And they're not only raping women today, they're even raping men on the massive level. You can't make up this atrocity that's going on. But anyway, you know, I don't think these people even are voting, are walking in Skokie, were advocating any Jewish Holocaust or massacre. But they were arguing about things like maybe, just maybe, there were other reasons for the beginning of the Second World War than simply Germans were trying to be aggressive. Because when you look at most of these areas, like Sudetenland was 90% German, Silesia was German, Danzig was German, the Polish Corridor was German for centuries. I mean, it's like they were just trying to have their people have self-determination, which is supposed to be a principle that America endorses. But the point is that these are the kind of examples. But again, Greenwald said that, you know, you got to have freedom of speech. Let's go on.
Jewish donors, it was a very overwhelmingly Jewish group, and they still defended the right of free speech of the people who are Nazis, who only 30 years before had tried to exterminate Jews from the earth. Because I think
none of the people marching in Skokie had tried to exterminate Jews 30 years before. And that is certainly a contestable thing. That is something that someone could argue about. I think there's no argument about the fact there were atrocities that were committed against Jews. I think there were mass atrocities also with the total ethnic cleansing of all East Prussia. What became Kaliningrad? It was Königsberg. And the expulsion of Germans, men, women, and children in the middle of winter, the rape of most of the women of Eastern Europe and Central Europe and Germany, even in Berlin, the rape of innocent women and girls, massively. The stories are horrific. The facts are horrific. There are a lot of atrocities in the war. And there's a lot of things that people can contest. I'm not saying it didn't happen. What I'm saying to you is you can't have history that's only written by the victors. Let's go on.
The principle is so important. And I've seen many times people say they believe in the principle when it comes to their own allies and then suddenly start finding ways to justify censorship by saying it's incitement or it's something else when it comes to the views they most disagree with. And I think that's what is important to recognize here is the Trump campaign, the Trump administration made very clear that they intend to go after and punish in a lot of ways people who are protesting the Israeli war in Gaza or Israel itself, because the Trump administration are strong supporters of Israel. So we have to recognize the people they're going after have views that the Trump administration vehemently disagrees with. In the case of Mahmoud Khalil specifically, I've heard a lot of accusations about him that he is a supporter of Hamas, that he engaged in intimidation of violence.
By the way, let's make some clarity here. He almost acts like just Trump has some sort of deep love for Israel, for whatever, because Israel's so wonderful. No, Trump's been bribed, and he's admitted it, basically, by Sheldon Adelson, the late Sheldon Adelson, and his wife Miriam Adelson. He's been bribed. He said, you bring me money, I'll do what you want. I'll move the embassy. It's pretty awful for a man that says, make America great again, and put America first, putting first a foreign country because they put money in your campaign. And then America turns around and they gave billions and billions of American dollars just recently to Israel. I'm sorry, Mr. Trump. Where he's good, I say, bravo, Trump. Try to control our borders. you know, try to be sensible about the LGBTQism in this country, all this other kind of stuff. That's fine. That's great. Maybe have trade policies in the future, but I don't know if he's going the right way right now on some of those trade policies in the future that serve the recreation of American business, right? Because that has been totally destroyed. And who did that? It's the Wall Street bankers. And it's the Jews who control the media that work in concert with their cohorts. And those Gentiles who collaborate with the Jewish oligarchy. It's really what we have in this country is an oligarchy, a billionaire oligarchy, and a billionaire ethnocracy. It's an ethnocracy. It's Jewish supremacism. Jews are controlling and dominating our government. That's the reality. Let's keep going.
There's no evidence of that. It is true that some of the protesters at Columbia engaged in bad acts, but you can't impute those to Mahmoud Khalil. And there was, I don't know if you saw, there was Wall Street Journal reporting yesterday about who Khalil is. And a lot of the Jewish students at Columbia who were part of these encampments, part of these protests, and they did have a ton of American Jewish students as part of them. I've interviewed them, all stood up for Khalil and said, the reason he was the mediator between our group and the administration is because he's trusted by all sides. He has defended Jewish students before. If he hears an anti-Semitic claim, he'll denounce it. He's actually been at the Shabbat dinners that they were holding.
By the way, you notice again here, again, we're trying to illustrate the incredible veil that's put over the minds of Americans. It's like Greenwald, I don't think he's doing this consciously, but he's doing it unconsciously. It's pretty clear that the way you can only defend free speech and talking against Jewish power is and talking against Jewish crimes, like the mass murder in Gaza, the only way you can do that is by pointing out that a number of Jews are against this. However, we must always remind ourselves that massive Jewish power and the true Jewish oligarchy is overwhelmingly against Trump. 80% of Jews voted against Trump. That's more than a landslide. It's amazing. 80% of Jews. And Jews were the authors of the open border policy that has ethnically cleansed the American people and the European people, similarly to the immigration policies of Jews migrating into Palestine. And this all became possible because of massive Jewish migration, including from the Soviet Union, or what was Russia at the time. They hated the Russians, into America. And then they concentrated on taking over the media, taking over our banking process, infiltrating our government, and basically being able to be in a position to bribe our government to do what they wanted. They absolutely controlled and even blackmailed Woodrow Wilson. They got us into the First World War. That was a deal between the Rothschilds and the British in exchange for the Jews, listen to this, getting America into the war for Britain. They were going to give Palestine, which Britain didn't own, which they were trying to take as their own in Palestine, give a country they didn't own to these Jews to come in and kill them and torture them and murder them and commit terrorism. And they did commit terrorism. The Jewish state was founded on terrorism. Again, the lie about everything is so overwhelming. It's beyond kind of human belief sometimes. Here we go.
I'd like to know specifically on the record what he has done that makes this claim that he's a Hamas supporter or incited harassment and violence against Jewish students justifiable, because I've looked very carefully and I don't see anything. He went on CNN and said
he works for Vision of the World, which is basically a branch of Hamas. That's one thing.
Now, he's going to talk about this too, but I'm going to talk about it for a second too. He worked for UNRWA. That's supposed to be a branch of Hamas. That is the biggest bald-faced piece of lie, you know, I've ever heard. UNRWA is a United Nations organization. It's not run by Palestinians. It's not run certainly by Hamas. Jews made this allegation out of 20,000 people because Jews control have made Gaza into a huge concentration camp, biggest concentration camp probably in the history of the world, single concentration camp, 2.4 million people. These people are prisoners there. They can't cross the border without permission from Israel. They're being starved. They've bombed over 90% of the homes, the apartments of the people of the country. They bombed almost every school. They bombed almost every hospital. They've killed, my belief is, I'm not trying to exaggerate, but I believe that, and I agree with The Lancet, which did a pretty good study on this, I believe they killed anywhere from 150 to 250,000 people or more. And I believe at least 40, 50% of them are children. And three quarters of them are women and children. And the biggest demographic group, and this is also shown by United Nations studies, which is not by Hamas, that kids, like between the biggest single age group, the age group, the demographic age group that has the most deaths is between the ages of 5 and 10 in Gaza. This is a infanticide, massive murder of children. Let's go on. And again, there's no evidence that this man was a Hamas supporter. But this is the kind of lies that we get. We're going to talk about some more lies in a minute.
UNRWA was funded by the U.S. government for decades under both political parties. It's a part of the UN. And okay, I don't agree with that.
Aligned with Hamas. You can't deny that.
People who go work for the UN are now suspect of being terrorists or whatever. You know how many employees of the UN are? And of UNRWA
even Joe Biden cut ties with UNRWA because it was working with Hamas post 10/7.
It wasn't working with Hamas before October 7 or after October 7. Israel made, because they didn't want any aid, because they wanted to ethnically cleanse and murder the people of Gaza, Israel made the allegation, and their allegation was like this. There's 20,000 people working for UNRWA trying to help the people because, again, the only food they can get in is what comes across their border. Pardon me. The Jewish state of Israel had bombed their water systems, had blocked any food coming in. They bombed their pastures where they had some animals. They bombed their crops. They bombed their buildings. They bombed every school. There's even some universities. Every university, every hospital. The other day, they bombed ambulances and fire trucks and murdered all the medics in there. They've killed hundreds of medical workers who've risked their lives and volunteered to go and help these civilians that are being massacred, murdered by these Jewish fiends, terrorists, and murderers. That's what they are. And they just murdered them in cold blood. And then they tried to bury the hospital, the ambulances and the fire trucks and everything to hide the crime. It's just unbelievable this stuff goes on. And this is admitted by some media, but they make like this is a debatable subject. It's not. There's no debate about it. Israel is a terrorist, murderous, absolutely genocidal state. And by the way, don't mistake this. Israel is not an apartheid state. Israel is a genocidal state. Genocidal state. Apartheid envisioned black, and they were trying to make possible entirely black, large regions where they had self-rule. There's never any mass bombing of Africans in South Africa. Never. They built unbelievable numbers of hospitals and clinics and schools and made available higher education and so forth. I'm not condoning everything in South Africa. But don't dare claim that South Africa has anything to do with what Israel's doing. Israel was founded by terrorism. The reason why so many blacks are in South Africa is because they came into South Africa because they came to enjoy the benefits of the government of South Africa. The law and order that existed as compared to most other African countries. That's just a fact. The educational opportunities, healthcare opportunities. This is like apples and oranges. I'm not telling you that South Africa is great, but what I'm telling you, that's true. And I'm also telling you that there was a lot of support by the Jewish media of the terrorists of the ANC. As I said earlier, Mandela singing Kill the Boer. Kill the Boer. Imagine if you had a group of people, you know, leaders of a government and a revolution in the government, kill the Jews. You think that had been tolerated? But that's what was sung by Nelson Mandela, who's presented as like a savior to the people. He was singing it along with these other Jews who ran the ANC, which is this movement, which really didn't do much good for the South African well-being, got even worse. But they did get control to the Jews over the gold mines, the Oppenheimers and so forth. And once they had control of that, because ANC was controlled, again, influenced by these Jews, they could bribe them and they could make sure the miners had no real rights in the country. Whereas you had white miners and black miners, and you had a lot more opportunity for rights in what was South Africa than what became the ANC state of South Africa. So again, I'm not defending them, but apartheid is not what Israel's doing. Israel's doing genocide, not apartheid.
Democrats do that. This is not a partisan position.
Israel is not a partisan position. Joe Biden fed Israel the arms and the money that they used to wage the war in Gaza. Joe Biden has long been one of the most stalwart supporters of Israel in all of Washington.
I agree with that. But we're getting sidetracked because even though the guy...
Yeah, we're getting sidetracked. So she just used Joe Biden to say, oh, well, he says Hamas is terrible. And he said that, you know, he also said that there were 40 babies beheaded and he's seen the pictures. And that's all had to have been walked back. They had to admit he saw no purchase because there weren't no pictures and there was no evidence that any babies were beheaded on October 7th. And the whole issue of massive rape of women... Israeli women by Palestinians on October 7th was complete fabrication. There's no evidence. The big article in the New York Times was done by people working for the Israeli intelligence networks. And the New York Times is a Jewish publication. Why doesn't the New York Times come with a warning label that the people who own the voting stock of the Class B stockholders, which control the New York Times, are overwhelmingly Zionists? They controlled over 90% of the voting stock. If the New York Times was doing stories about an oil company and defending an oil company committing massive crimes like the Enron, let's say the New York Times was owned by oil company people who they were defending from allegations of corruption, you think anybody would mention the fact that the New York Times might be covering up the corruption because they're owned by oil company executives? You know they would. I went on Mask AI that, and that's exactly what they said. Then I applied it to Zionism. The hypocrisy is an amazing thing. Let's go.
Work for UNRWA, which I do believe is working for Hamas. We can table that.
No, UNRWA's not working for Hamas, but anybody that's been to Gaza and seen what's going on with the Gazan people, anybody that's done that, anybody that knows the massive murders, the genocide's right in your face. Anybody would be sympathetic. But the point is, if you're going to call Hamas terrorists that killed less than 3% children, and any child being killed is horrible, I'm opposed to, and I don't like any human rights violation. But I'm consistent. But we had Jews doing these forays into the prison camp that they controlled, where they had no place to run. They destroyed all their shelters, all their homes. At least in a home, if they bomb the next door building, you're not going to have to worry about shrapnel as much as you are unless you're in a camp. When you bomb a refugee camp with a high-charged bomb, a 1,000-pound bomb or a 500-pound bomb even, or a 2,000-pound bomb, that, you know, everybody in those tents has no protection at all. And these people in Palestine have no place to run. And then they come up with lies like, oh, human shields. No, it's totally a lie. This is a city. This is a city. When you bomb an apartment building, you kill everybody. This is totally unjustifiable.
We can put that to the side. I don't think there's any question this guy supports what Hamas did on 10/7. Any question whatsoever. He was also
wearing a shirt.
Yeah, there's no question ever. Why? Because, like, for instance, let's talk about this, how the New York newspaper that she says proves all this, they just don't point out that the U.S. newspaper, in fact, I even asked AI about this as well, they pointed out, yes, the newspaper was a very pro-Israel newspaper. So, I mean, this is always a circular argument, right?
First of all, he worked for UNRWA. Second of all, he referred to it as armed resistance, what the Palestinians did.
It was armed resistance. In fact, they invaded military bases with small arms. Well, those bases had Apache attack helicopters. Well, they had massive tanks. Well, they had massive gun emplacements. You know, and they went up against them with small arms, folks. You know, and the death rate of children was a tiny sliver of what the death rate of Palestinian children. You know, they had 20,000 kids so far, minimum. It's really three times that, or four times that, or five times that, I believe. And I think Lancet proves that. But by any measure, 36 children as compared to 20,000 children, that's at least 500 times more magnitude. And the death of innocents, horrible death, and maiming of tens of thousands of more babies and kids. And that's ignored. Well, if Hamas is proved to be barbarians and evil people and murderers by what happened on October 7th, then Jews are proved of that 500 times with more evidence. But Jews and the Jews of Israel, the Jewish supremacists of Israel, are never identified as terrorists. And even the words never used as Jew. Even that's what they call themselves. They call themselves Jews. And they say that they're a Jewish state. You can't even use the word Jew because it's such bad public relations to say Jews killed thousands. They don't have any problem about saying Russians did this crime, Russian atrocities. They don't have any problem with that. They don't have a problem about using that on any other people. But you can't use that on Jews because we have a Jewish-controlled media which have their affections and their loyalty to Jews, not Americans or any sort of truth. Let's go on.
He said that. It's on tape that we aired it on the show on Saturday. That's not arms resistance. That's terrorism, what happened on 10/7. But you don't...
How about the terrorism? There's thousands of Palestinians that died before 10/7. Operation Cast Lead, Operation Protective Edge. Thousands of Palestinian children. Thousands, not 36, but at least 3,600. That's 100 times more children. 100 times. But that was never called terrorism. And these people were slaughtered in what was a prison camp where these people couldn't escape. They couldn't even leave. It's one thing if you blockade a city or a town or you simply don't allow food or anything in it. But people can kind of escape to the countryside, try to eat something, try to get some support or whatever. People can't do that in Gaza. They're stuck. They're in prison. And if the water's no good, if the water's tainted, if the water's deadly, if they can't get antibiotics, they can't go anywhere else to get them. They can't even survive. Folks, we got to start approaching this stuff and talking about it, but we can't do it in a Jewish-controlled media.
Need any of that? I'll give away all that, what I just said. Let's just look at what he did as the spokesperson for this group, Columbia University Apartheid, I can't remember the acronym, but it's, you know, the group, C-U-A-D, I think it was, Divest. And he served their spokesperson. That was the group that took over Hamilton Hall and engaged in the encampments on Columbia University. Hamilton Hall alone had so many crimes. We could spend all day talking about the number.
Was Khalil there?
He was, not that we know of. We don't believe he was there, but he was the chief negotiator. No, it matters. When you're the spokesperson, that's literally written into the immigration and the terrorism statutes. If you are the spokesperson for a group that espouses or...
There was no terrorism there. That was... We had... There's been tens of thousands of sit-ins in public buildings and schools and so forth, like during the Vietnam War. You know, it's just amazing that nobody's ever called it terrorism and nobody ever got deported for doing that. Now we have this going on because you can't ever speak out against your true tyrants, these Jewish supremacists who are destroying your country and the Palestinian people and evoking war all over the world in a United States of America, which could be called the Jew-United States in terms of our policy, just like Jeffrey Sachs points out in his article how the same people behind the Ukraine war, the Jewish neocons, and he names all these Jewish neocons, are the same people that gave us the lies of the Iraq war, which cost us ultimately thousands of American dead, tens of thousands of American wounded, millions of families back destroyed with the long separations. I mean, it's just incredible. It was all based on lies. And as Jeffrey Sachs shows, who's a Jewish spokesman, that this was really a war for Israel, not for America, which cost us $8 trillion.
Supports terror. You're out. That's all they have to prove. Spokesperson is enough. And he was a spokesperson by every account that you hear of his behavior.
She can't talk about one act of terror. Not one act of terror this guy did. But, the terrorism is that he spoke out against the Jewish mass murder of children in Gaza.
He was going in there daily to speak with Columbia University administrators, saying, this is what we need. You need to divest entirely from Israel, or you're going to get more
hits. Ooh.
That's it. That's all we need to deport him.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Okay. Let me just say, this is so important about what these protests were in general and what the one at Columbia was, because I've interviewed a lot of Columbia students who participated and even organized these protests. Once again, many of whom are Jewish, many of whom are American Jews. There's tons of American Jews who were vehemently opposed to the Israeli war in Gaza and who went out and protested against it.
But a lot of the ones who show up are like Jewish voices.
The only thing you can say to defend yourself, Glenn, is you got to point out that there's Jews who also recognize that this is a genocide. I'm glad you point that out, because it shows you this is not a bunch of biased anti-Semites that are doing this. It's even Jews recognizing the mass murder and the evil that's being done by Israel and by the United States and supporting it. But the United States is doing this because of the Jewish takeover, the American political process, control of American fundraising and politics, and the American media that cheerleads this absolute genocide.
For peace, which is as Hamas supporting.
They count. They count. They still count as being Jewish. And
let's not pretend that they represent the dominant Jewish voice on the issue of genocide.
No, but they represent a significant They represent a significant minority. They had Shabbat dinners inside the encampment at Columbia because of how many Jewish students were there. And Khalil would go. Here's what the Wall Street Journal said. Khalil is someone who would even step in front of an aggressor to protect Jewish students and who is a believer in nonviolence. And here's what an American Jewish woman at Columbia.
Look, Glenn, I don't mind you saying these things. And I think it's important to let people know that Jews of conscience, and there are Jews of conscience, many. And I respect those Jews, like Jeffrey Sachs, for instance, and many others, Norman Finkelstein. But you know what? It's got to the point where these people are so dominant in our society. We can't say that these Jewish elite led America into this war, which damaged the American people terribly and killed millions of non-Americans and ruined American reputations and made people hate us, such as what happened in 9/11 all over the world, and try to hurt Americans. Naturally so. When you're causing the death of their kids. It's so disgusting that we simply can't even speak out and say that the Jewish elite, I do believe the Jewish elite is endangering Jews, and that's a bad thing. But the real big damage is the fact they're getting American blood and American money to be sacrificed for the interest of Israel and against the basic interest of the American people.
It said, I can state with full confidence that Mahmoud has never expressed support for Hamas. And she said she's an American Jewish woman who believes in the importance of Israel as a Jewish homeland, and talked about how often he would attend the Shabbat dinner inside the encampment. I think,
You're talking like inside the encampment. So, yes, he would go and participate in this probably Jewish Voices for Peace Shabbat dinner, which, again, they're hard partisan Hamas supporters.
What is the matter with you, Megyn Kelly? What's the matter with you? Why are you defending the mass murder of tens of thousands of little babies? And then you call them terrorists. And maybe that's a justified label. But if they're terrorists, then Jews are 500 times more terrorists. Far more brutal. Far more torture. Even rape of Palestinians on a massive label. We've had films of it from Israel. Even homosexual rape, which is more akin to torture than even rape. It's all torture. It's all rape. It's just amazing that we have this hypocrisy.
While he was stopping, while this group that he was affiliated with was stopping Jews from attending the buildings they wanted to attend.
It wasn't stopping. They were doing demonstrations. And you've seen that with unions. You've seen this all the way. They weren't intentionally stopping Jews. And there's no evidence they're showing that Jews could not get to their classes. The people who were really attacked the most, like at UCLA and many other places and all over the world, it's the same way with these Jews. They're the ones that became violent, just like what happened in Holland, where they attacked even Dutch people and anybody and Palestinians who showed agreement with them. It wasn't Jews that came under attack, these football hooligans. It was the Dutch. It's like the old Polish proverb, Jews always cry in pain as they strike you.
Crossing campus when they wanted to cross campus, professors too. Like, I'm sure I'm super glad he had Shabbat dinner while he was stopping Jews from exercising their rights on the campus.
She didn't give one piece of evidence that he ever stopped a single Jew. This is how they work.
Paul and Philo, and you mentioned Paul being part of
we lost the time. So sorry. We'll get it.
How some of the separatist movements,
man,
like the
I hate that.
And he wrote...
No, this is not it either. Anyway, I'm gonna close this down to just give you a final note. Let me stop this.
In Algeria.
This happened. But anyway, yes, folks. Now, I love being a fly on the wall and being able to comment about these things and give you the backstory. You got to think about the fact that you're living in a completely false reality. The fact that Hamas can be routinely called terrorist and not talk about the fact that Israel was founded on terrorism. First, by the way, against Palestinians and British. British suffered terrorism, massive terrorism. They blew up the King David Hotel. The very British that enabled them to move into this country that British didn't even own. And the whole world sat by because of so much Jewish influence in the banking of the world, the politics of the world, and the media of the world. They controlled all the television networks in the 1950s on. They did. Free Jews, ABC, NBC, CBS. Google is in contract. Google, 80% of the search engines of the world, and also control of Wikipedia. They're in contract to the billions of dollars with the Mossad. You know the slogan of the Mossad, right, folks? By deception, they shall wage war. It's exactly what it is. They're at war with not just the Palestinians. They're at war with you folks, you non-Jews around the world, and other Jews that don't want Jews to do these things and represent themselves. They're at war with humanity. They're at war with 99.8% of humanity, which are not Jews. Even in their own articles by leading Jews, like in the Times of Israel, the new anti-Semitism and the old anti-Semitism, in which he says that, quote, that anti-Semitism is in the DNA of Gentiles. They're born anti-Semitic. I'm out of time. I'll be back again tomorrow with Mark Collett of Great Britain. Go to my Gab at Real David Duke. Go to my Odyssey at Real David Duke. See my videos. Watch my video of my debate with Alex Jones, which will teach you a lot of interesting things. I love you, and I hope you support us. And please go to and send a note. Send a few shekels, if you could, to Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. Love you, and I'll see you again tomorrow.